You ready, Mace?
Party people in the place to be. Uh-huh. It's about that time for us to
Yeah. Hour number three, final hour of this Thursday. Wait, it's the final hour for me and Lucas this week. We're off tomorrow, but we are going to get you through to 1 o'clock with great effort and great energy before we get to start our little, our just small vacation a little early. Well, you're gone for a little bit.
Yep. Right?
Considerable amount of time.
We'll see you on June 7th.
You want to tell people what you're doing?
I am headed to Brazil. I'm going to see some family that I have not seen in 3 years, the longest I've ever gone without going down there to see them. Going to be in Rio for 4 or 5 days, then going to go down south to see my grandmother, my uncle, my aunt, my cousins, and I am incredibly excited.
What are you bringing me? You haven't asked me what I wanted yet.
Well, what do you want?
I don't know. What's cool in Brazil?
A lot of things. Okay. I'm most excited about Sunday going to the cathedral that is the Maracanã, the stadium in Rio that just icons of international soccer have played in World Cup finals, and we're going to go catch a game between Flamengo and Fluminense. Big rivalry, big, in-city rivalry in Rio de Janeiro that I'm incredibly excited about. I could get you something from there.
Yeah, I'll take something from there.
Maybe some cachaça, Brazilian liquor.
Well, if it tastes anything like the tequila that you brought me today, then I would happily, except you guys, you know, people are going to think I have a drinking problem with as much booze as we're bringing through the studio at this point. We're like mules. 615-737-1045. Jump in on the conversation if you like. Derek R. says, a Brazilian and an Egyptian walk into a radio show. Does sound like a bad joke. And what, Robert, what is your heritage? What in this mini United Nations, where what do you represent?
Yeah, we've got like four countries in here, Robert.
I am Irish. If you cannot tell by my neon white skin and freckles, I would burn on a day like today. So
it's so cloudy.
We all have drink. At least me.
Yes,
and you
Lucas, that's
issues.
The joke. That's the joke. Thank you for the subtlety. It's so cloudy, he says. I'm sorry, Robert. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, it's okay. I was just saying you and I both have heritageal drinking issues.
Do we?
I mean, Irish. I mean, I'm assuming you do since you're talking about drinking all the time. It's not a heritageal thing and it's just you?
Well, yeah. No, I think that's just a me thing. Okay. I mean, my dad's side of the family is Muslim. I don't think alcohol's a big thing at all for, well, actually, my dad did love Stella beer. Anyway, that's far from the point.
What other issues do we want to talk about?
I don't know. We've already brought up your parents' divorce. I don't know how much deeper we need to go into everybody's backgrounds.
You got.
What do you mean I got?
You got.
On what?
On Steve Smith.
Steve Smith, the wide receiver?
Yeah.
The new Giants coach?
Yeah, he's not joining the Giants staff.
What do you mean?
Ari Myrov with the report. Steve Smith Sr. is not actually joining the Giants coaching staff, despite a video circulating on Twitter he posted. Steve's just having some fun. He's at Giants OTAs today, chopping it up with players and coaches.
What?
That was completely in jest.
What do you mean? It's a tweet. It's his account.
Yeah, I didn't watch the video. Did he post something?
Robert, can you play the audio? We'll find out if it's clean first. I can't trust Steve Smith, even though he works on a national television network. Robert, if you can find whenever you have the moment to the Steve Smith audio, because it's Steve talking on his phone from his account about joining the Giants coaching staff.
He's totally kidding.
What do you mean? That's not kidding. That's lying. He's not kidding.
The first response to Ari Myrov is he would literally be the Giants wide receiver one.
What? So what? I think I tweeted something about, you know, he's on the Giants coaching staff and he's on the Giants coaching staff, and that's who the Titans host in week one. So no need to. It says I'm officially joining the Giants coaching staff, coming straight from the source himself. No need to hear it at Adam Schefter. No need to hear it from at Adam Schefter or at Ian Rappaport. And he uses their terrible hashtag together blue. What do you mean?
He was just lying. Yeah. He's not joining the
that's
Giants.
That's not me getting
staff.
Got. That's Steve Smith lying to people. Okay, so I got. Everybody can point and laugh at me today, not the guy who's lying to people on the internet. Tremendous. Is it clean, Robert? Can we hear from Steve Smith?
I only listened to it twice, but let's hope so.
Okay, let's roll the dice. Go ahead, buddy.
Guess what, folks? I hate to break it to you, but it's official. Agent 89 now is part of the coaching staff for the New York Giants. Sorry, just wanted to let you know. Breaking news myself. Rap sheet, Adam Schefter, you don't need it.
Schefter.
Scooper's here.
He says, I'm here.
He said, Adam Schefter.
I, I love just Steve Smith. I hope he never leaves to go do something as lame as coaching, because he's so much better television than 90% of the people. He's the closest thing to that. Him and Michael Irvin together on those Thursday Night Football post-game shows,
they're good.
They're the closest thing to Shaq and Kenny that we have.
Dan Duggan, a Giants beat writer for The Athletic, says, Brian Daboll and Steve Smith walking off the practice field with a picture. Smith is shooting some video. Team says he's not actually joining the coaching staff. The team had to come in. No. Oh. He's just hanging out.
Okay. Now, they ran out there to say that, too. Like, it would be okay if he joined your coaching staff. There's far worse things going on with the Giants than Steve Smith joining you guys.
There's plenty of things happening with the Giants organization. The fact that Daniel Jones is still their quarterback, who I think Steve Smith has regularly ripped. That's probably why they got out there and said, we can't put him on the coaching staff.
Walked right up to him. Daniel, you're fired. No, Steve.
You're wide receivers, buddy, not quarterbacks. Off to the side. they really are the closest thing to Shaq and Kenny, though, that I think we have on studio shows. Like, I mean, outside of that, I can't think of people who I find more entertaining on sports television, because I don't, we will see the post game show sometimes in the press box. If we're like, if obviously the Titans are on Thursday Night Football, then they're down on the field in front of us and we can't hear the broadcast. But every once in a while, I'll throw those things up on the screen while I'm or after primetime when I wrap up. That's one of the few that I'll stick around and listen to, because the players seem to enjoy Michael Irvin because he's insane, and Steve Smith because he's not afraid to say anything to anybody at any point, including Mike Irvin about, previous or not previous use of cocaine in Michael Irvin's past that he brings to the television studio. What is
Breaking
it?
Breaking Falls News.
What happened?
On 104.5 The Zone.
Now wait just a damn minute.
Tennessee basketball secures another commitment from four-star Cade Phillips from Jacksonville, Alabama. The number one player in the state of Alabama. The number 14 power forward in the class of 2023.
What are you doing? You're in here. You don't have the ability to interrupt me now. Are you conspiring with Robert?
Don't I? What just happened?
It's true. He comes in here, he completely hijacks the radio show. So now you're going to do the thing that Lucas does to me too, where you completely steamroll me with the breaking news stuff?
I think it's pure comedy.
Okay.
If you can just interrupt somebody, take them off their groove.
It ends up being better for the radio show, because when I'm pissed, we do better. I don't know why that is. It's not conducive to my good health.
But a 6'9", 200-pound power forward from Alabama.
6'9", wait, 200-pound?
Yep.
6'9"?
That's 6'8", 6'8", and 6'9" that Tennessee has added to their roster in the class of 2023 via commitment.
Does he have an eating disorder? 200 pounds at 6'9", that's not, I mean, is that par for the course?
He could fill out a little bit.
Goodness.
Brandon Jenkins, 247 recruiting analyst. Notably, Phillips is notably a ferocious player around the basket, gets off the floor extremely well, and utilizes his great length to extend and play above the rim with malicious intent.
Weaknesses. Stays away ferocious, from carbs.
Yeah. Ferocious and malicious.
I like that.
Included in the breakdown.
That's like the analysis I saw of Jermaine Johnson, the Florida State pass rusher. No, it wasn't Jermaine Johnson. I can't remember who it was that got drafted, but the analysis of the player was he rushes the passer with hate in his heart. And it's the best analysis of a pass rusher that I've ever seen in 7 years covering the NFL draft. Okay. Well, good for the Vols. Length. They're going to think, I guess they didn't, who was it that, was it Texas Tech that kind of put them on skates a little bit with the length that they had in that game?
Yeah, big time. Cut off a ton of perimeter shooting.
So it seems like Rick Barnes did not appreciate that experience and decided to take another path. Very good for the Vols in the recruiting process. There is one player on the field already for the Tennessee Titans that has provided that offense an instant and immediate upgrade. I'll tell you who that is, and in fact, you'll hear from that player coming up next.
Let's see. Something different for dinner. Searching restaurants near me.
Right here, ma'am. How can we help?
Gee, same old, same old.
Wait, we're right here, ma'am. Our restaurant's just a few blocks from you. Why is she not seeing us?
Back to the usual, I guess.
Ma'am, can you not see us?
Nope, they can't see you. Because you're buried deep in the list of local restaurants. You are invisible online. Introducing Cumulus Boost. Get a boost, get found, get on the map. Learn more at cumulusboost.com.
The Buck Rising Show is powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Go to springhillac.com.
So, in the midst of us taking shots of tequila during the commercial break, as you all requested, stumbled upon something from Jimmy Wyatt this morning. He's been writing a lot of stuff off the one day of OTAs that we were out there. See, Jimmy's so smart. He spreads this stuff out over multiple days. The rest of us just burn out all of the topics on one day, and Jimmy's got a full week worth of content laughing at us fools. Good for you, Jim. But his article this morning at TennesseeTitans.com, Austin Hooper, tight end building chemistry with quarterback Ryan Tannehill, one day at a time. So with Austin Hooper, he represents an immediate upgrade. With all the questions that we have on the offense this year, and generally all the questions that we have about the Titans this year, what we know is even though Austin Hooper has not had the last couple of years of his career that he would like, he still represents a clear and obvious upgrade over what the Titans had last year at the position. It is meant in no way, for way, shape, or form disrespectful to Michael Pruitt, Jeff Swaim, who's still on the roster, and Anthony Firkser. It's just simply the fact that it wasn't good enough. And so Austin Hooper comes here, cut 2 years into a four-year deal, a big contract that he got from the Cleveland Browns, and comes here at value. 1 year, just around $6 million. To try and provide immediate impact and potentially get another crack at a big contract, given the fact that Austin Hooper is only 27 years old at this point. What are you eating?
Brisket, like eggs and potatoes that Ramon Foster got this morning.
What, you just think I'm going to completely let you coast in the middle of a segment, so you're just going to eat breakfast? Mm-hmm. Lunch, I guess, at this point?
I'm munching.
All right, back to the shadows. At least turn your microphone off so we don't have to hear it. So you've got Austin Hooper at the tight end spot. And, you know, in our first look at that, our being the media, our first look at what that may entail, it looked pretty crisp, to be honest with you. Now, you had Tannehill and Austin Hooper out there working in 7-on-7 during the OTAs. Ryan Tannehill went right to Hooper on the very first play. Back to Hooper again on the second play. And as Jimmy documented, three plays later, Hooper was on the receiving end of yet another pass from Tannehill. Then came another toss to Hooper, making it four completions from 17 to 81 in six plays. So they are clearly working on the kind of chemistry that we know and we have discussed Ryan Tannehill needs to develop fast, quick, and in a hurry with his new skill position players. One new tight end. Two new tight ends, if you count Chig. Three new receivers, fourth being Nick Westbrook-Akina. But in two rookies and one veteran, Robert Woods and Treylon Burks and Kyle Phillips, those guys are going to take some time to get on the same page as the quarterback. And in talking to Hooper after practice, it seemed like he felt like he was in a pretty good position. But looking at what the head coach had to say, Mike Vrabel, in discussing Austin Hooper, Mike seemed to be pretty pleased with the early results as well.
I would say very positive. I think very coachable. And for a veteran player that's had success, that's, you know, much like Robert on his third team, it's been really good to see. You know, this was a guy that was in California for a charity event for a great cause. That donates money back to foster kids when they turn 18, and took a red eye to be here last week. So if that's any indication to the commitment that he has to us and trying to earn the respect of his teammates, I think that's a good start.
So that's Mike Vrabel at the podium on Tuesday talking about Austin Hooper and Robert Woods as additions to this team. And so there's a lot that you are looking for out of this situation with those two players in particular. One, you felt overwhelmingly positive about Robert Woods being out there and available 2 days in a row coming off the ACL tear. Knee brace or not, feel pretty good about it. Tighten Up Dracaris on YouTube says, hearing good things about Dez Fitzpatrick as well. In our one day of being out there, I thought Dez was inconsistent but did show up and make some plays. But Hooper is the place where I'm looking at and saying, okay, right out the gate, they're better. They are unquestionably better. Even not knowing what Chig Okonkwo is as a fourth-round rookie, knowing what Jeff Swaim is throughout the course of his professional career, and knowing that you can get some things out of him, but in spurts. He's a much better three than he is a one, and he was your starting tight end last year. There is a lot to like about Austin Hooper in this offense, particularly with something to prove, right? He got paid in Cleveland. That was a big part of the Browns Super Bowl contenders conversation, where you looked around, all of a sudden you had Baker Mayfield traded for Odell Beckham Jr. You had Jarvis Landry already on the squad, and then Austin Hooper signed from the Falcons on a four-year, $42 million deal. And you felt great about what the Browns offense was going to be able to do. And then it kind of, the bottom kind of fell out for Hooper. Now, playing with Hurt Baker last year didn't help. And you're looking at consistent participation from Hooper, which he has delivered on. And now with the ability to take less than, for example, Evan Ingram got with the Jacksonville Jags, 1 year nine. Similarly, in a prove it situation, but a little, I mean, Austin Hooper and Evan Ingram, I think, are ballpark about the same age. As a matter of fact, if Hooper's 27, then Ingram has to be somewhere in the area. But still, he took a lot less money than a good deal of the tight end deals that we saw going around this year, and he took a short-term deal. Also 27 years old, Robert tells me in my ear, for Evan Ingram. So with all of this being said, yeah, you feel pretty good about what Austin Hooper is going to be able to provide to them, because he's just an all-around tight end in ways they didn't have last year. He's got a career sample size of 88 games. He started 57, 298 catches, 3,024 yards, and 23 total touchdowns. He had Pro Bowl seasons in Atlanta, where he and Matt Ryan were one of the best quarterback-to-tight-end connections in the sport for a couple of years. And that was a much better version of Matt Ryan, with also significantly better protection. Ryan Tannehill possesses above-average mobility at the quarterback position, even as at 33 years old. And you feel pretty good about what Hooper, just as both as a receiving target and as a bit of a safety net, can provide to this offense, and hopefully a little bit of blocking. Because what Jeff Swaim was consistently not good at was being what they need their tight ends to be good at, which is blocking for both Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill in certain 12 personnel sets. Now, coming out of that, you know, it's been curious to kind of get to know Austin Hooper a little bit, because he seemed, I think, kind of gun shy a little bit when we first met with him. And, you know, I'm sure Cleveland media dragged him a little bit, rightfully so. He didn't produce. But looking at how he approached it and what kind of perspective that he had after this OTA practice, where he caught up with Titans media, Austin Hooper kind of expressing that he and rookie quarterback Malik Willis are kind of in similar circumstances.
Talented rookie quarterback. I mean, obviously, like, I still have much to learn about the system, just like, you know, every player who hasn't been in the system for, you know, more than a few weeks, like myself and some younger players. So, I mean, it's just like anything else. The more time you spend at it, the more reps, the more familiar you are with it. So, I mean, I'm at that process right now. So it's good to have some younger guys, you know, they're in that boat with you. We're learning together.
To kind of defend Hooper's production in Cleveland, too, if you look at the offensive scheme they ran with Stefanski, he ran a lot of three tight end sets. So he's also having to battle a rookie and David Njoku for end zone snaps. So if you want to wonder why his production went down and his stats might not be what it was in the last year with Matt Ryan, 75 catches, over 700 yards, six touchdowns, he's fighting off two other guys at the same position. And injured Baker, to your point from earlier.
Injured Baker, you know, run heavy scheme. Like, there's a lot of different reasons why you look at Hooper as somebody as being able to salvage something legitimate there. Let's see. I'm reading some comments there. I'm more excited about Chig than Hooper, says Brandon on YouTube. You know what Chig is if you watch Maryland football. I don't know how many snaps of Maryland football you've watched in the last couple of years since Chig's been on the roster, but Hooper is the more experienced player. He is the better option right out of the gate. And frankly, he is the better all-around player, understandably so, because he's been in the league for a lot longer.
It's player comps that gets people excited. And what was the biggest comp for Chig Okonkwo?
Jonnu.
Yeah.
Yeah, but people are forgetting how long it took Jonnu to kind of get his bleep together.
But people latch onto that. But if that's what Brandon means, that he is more excited long-term about Chig with the Titans than Austin Hooper, then
that's
what he means.
Well, yeah, because Hooper may just be here for a year. I don't care about long-term right now, though. Like, I get what you're saying. Sure, I understand your point. And I understand if that is in fact Brandon's position, then I would understand that as well. But like, think about, Jonnu wasn't a liability his rookie year, but there were all kinds of penalty issues that Jonnu had while he was trying to learn how to block in an NFL offense, because what they were running at FIU was vastly different than when he got here at Tennessee. Now, Chig is probably closer to a more well-rounded player than Jonnu was coming out at the time. I think Jonnu was a third-round pick, though, as opposed to a fourth-round pick, if I recall correctly. I think when you have that idea of what Jonnu was before he left and got paid, $50 million from the Patriots? Like, you got a decent contract. But that's not who Chig is yet. That's just who Chig best projects as. Robert tells me that Jonnu indeed a third round pick. You should be very, very satisfied with the work that your team has done at the tight end spot to give them substantially better depth at this stage. Now, on the same note, with excitement around a season, Taylor Lewan, who's always a good quote, and who, ironically enough, I've gotten several messages on Twitter today because apparently they're talking about me on the Bussin' with the Boys podcast. I don't know if it's good. I don't know if it's bad. I haven't heard it in its entirety yet. It's likely bad, and it's likely about my weight. So I'll fight those two later if I have to. But in fact, I'm out there on the practice field, and I'm just trying to stand there and watch Nick Petitfrere take some offensive line second level drill snaps. It's Petitfrere and Chig working upfield on a blocking pad together, and Lewan is doing it with Hooper, and I think Tommy Hudson was out there too. So I just want to watch the offensive line drills. Just let me be in peace. I'm not out there taking video even. We're having Nick on the radio show that day, and I want to watch some offensive line stuff to see if I can glean anything, because I don't know what their drills look like, and I want to understand on a deeper level what that is without a phone in my face and having to worry about what I'm going to tweet in 30 minutes after practice wraps up. And Lewan, in the middle of practice, just comes over and starts chirping at me about the fact that I look like I'm slimming down, so it must mean that Dara's broken up with me, because there's no way that I'm losing weight organically while my girlfriend remains with me, because he thinks that I got fat as soon as I got in a relationship. And he's not outright wrong. But anyway, I'll fight him later if I have to. Lewan spoke with the media after practice wrapped up about how his experience has changed from year over year. This was Taylor Lewan on the practice field Tuesday.
Wasn't a lot of finishing downfield compared to how it's been in the past. That's kind of how I made my name in this league, is being a guy that finishes, and didn't have the capability of doing that last year. I wasn't in good enough shape to do that. And being out here now, it's already a world of a difference to me. I can put a helmet on. I'm not gasping for air after 4 or 5 plays. I can go through a whole period, and I'm laughing and talking trash with the boys. It's a good time. You know, football is now fun for me again. If there's any difference you guys want to know between last year and this year, I'm enjoying the hell out of myself now. Last year, like, let's not get it twisted. That was miserable. You know what I'm saying? You guys go ahead and bleep that out, Fox. You know what I'm saying? But seriously, that was miserable. It was, the first game was terrible. Till the middle of the season, at the end of the year, things started going well. But damn, it was just not fun. Every week was like, you know, you don't feel your best. You're making 100 excuses in your head. And then you get done, you got to go unpack all those things. You can't just pretend like it didn't happen. Like, I had to go and talk to a lot of people and figure that stuff out and unpack that stuff. And once we did, it was, you know, I feel a whole lot better. I feel more like myself than I ever have.
So that's Taylor Lewan meeting with the media, describing how much better his experience this year at OTAs was, as opposed to last year when he was coming off a torn ACL. What are you shaking your head about?
Well, I just got to do that.
What?
Just create that work for me.
What? You bleeping the audio?
Yeah.
Oh, poor you. Poor you. I'm so sorry.
Just give me extra work.
That he
Taylor.
Did not take your feelings into consideration when describing his joy at being back out on the practice field. You and Fox 17, apparently, who he said Fox, not the other word. We bleeped the other word. But I think that matters in a big way, because we know what's the biggest question so far heading into this year around the offense. One, what the hell is Treylon Burks? And two, who is going to help keep Ryan Tannehill off his ass again this year, because he got wrecked in 2021. That was not a pleasant experience for that quarterback outside of all of the different attrition that they had on the roster. And Lawan took about, I would say, I mean, it didn't really feel like more than six games to me to kind of get right. But you understood that he clearly wasn't right when we're sitting there on the field in Seattle in week two. And Taylor is just going through pregame routine. And all of a sudden, he's surrounded by trainers. He's sitting on the turf, and we're trying to figure out what the hell happened. Did he just pop something again in the middle of pregame warmups? And we get told very, very soon after that Taylor Lewan is not going to be available for that day's game, after the Arizona game where people roasted him. And, I mean, frankly, Chandler Jones roasted him. And the Arizona Cardinals defense roasted the entire Titans offensive line. Lewan was the focal point because Taylor, you know, talks, and you know who he is, and he's got a podcast, and that apparently makes an offensive lineman polarizing. God forbid he have a personality. But I think largely for Taylor, why this is so important is you need that mindset from him. Whatever, you know, I don't care whether you assign leadership qualities to Taylor or not. I think there has been a substantial amount of growth from the time that he arrived here to the time that he sits in front of you now, even if he's still, you know, a bit of a bleep off. You look at Taylor and you say, okay, he has the ability to be infectious. He has the ability to have that carry over beyond himself in ways that make this process, and it's not necessarily an enjoyable process of training camp and all these things, but he can make it fun and enjoyable for the rest of them. Where he's sitting out there after the practice working with Nick Petit-Frere on different kind of hand fighting techniques that Nick is going to need to know. And you need Nick to know those things because you need to figure out who the hell is the starting right tackle when the Giants come to town on September 11th. With Taylor, I think that, you know, 2 years, including this season, left on his deal. And already, really early into last year, really since Taylor signed the 5-year extension, there's been a contingent of Titans fans who find him to be less than or not worth the money or a pain in the ass or all these different things that you assign to Taylor while still being a high-level player. I've talked about this before, and I've talked about this with smarter football people than I, as to where kind of Taylor is in terms of stud left tackles in the league. Because this is a Pro Bowl caliber player. He's not Trent Williams. He's not great on every snap. He's not, I mean, there are technically sound things about his game that you really value, and is obviously he's a high-level athlete at the position. He's a good player, at times has the ability to be great and can make the rest of that unit stable in ways that they desperately need some kind of stability on the offensive line this year. Because it wasn't just him who struggled early. It was Nate Davis, who came, I think, right into the Arizona game off the COVID list, had several stints with concussion-related issues in the early going of the season, and like Taylor, finished the year a much stronger version of themselves than what we saw at the start. But of course, people are just going to say, people are going to look at, I think it was 3 sacks attributed to Taylor of the 5 sacks that the Arizona defense, no, I think five, I think Chandler alone had 5 sacks, but 3 of them came against Lawan. To have Taylor in the right mindset with this particular offensive line group is critical because you need him. And you may not think you need him, but you need him a lot worse than I think a lot of you would like to admit. 615-737-1045 is how you join in on the conversation on the Titans and what we're looking for. Another round of OTAs will begin next week. And when we come back, when Lucas and I come back from vacation, or at least when I come back from vacation, because Lucas is going to Brazil, we will have a lot more coverage of Titans OTAs and where the development lies. But we will do the polls. We'll do last call for phone calls. We'll wrap up the show and we'll start our weekend early and leave you in the good hands of young William Bowling tomorrow. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone. Welcome back. Wrapping it up on a Thursday. Think about it for a second. Lucas, you've got some details on the newest Tennessee Vols basketball commit that I think are funny before we wrap up with last call for phone calls and do some polls.
Cade Phillips, the 4-star prospect.
Are you still eating?
No. I'm putting enough to the side. What is this?
I thought I heard it.
What are you doing here?
I thought you were chewing on something.
Cade Phillips, 6'9", 200-pound power forward, number one overall prospect in Alabama for the class of 2023, has just announced his commitment to Tennessee. He is the son of John David Phillips, who played quarterback at Alabama.
Yep.
His mom, Reagan, played basketball at Alabama. His uncle is Brody Croyle.
Oh, really?
Quarterback at Alabama and then quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. Been a few years in the NFL. His grandfather is John Croyle, who played defensive end for Bear Bryant.
So he comes from an entire family of Crimson Tide fans. Well, going
literally everybody. His parents, his grandfather, his uncle all played football or basketball at Alabama, and he has committed to Tennessee.
That's great. That's like the guy at the SEC tournament yesterday decked out in Vols gear sitting with the Bama fans. And he's an Auburn fan, but Alabama is playing. And so they interviewed him on the SEC network, and they go, what are you doing decked out in Tennessee gear if you're an Alabama fan or if you're an Auburn fan? And he just looks at the camera and goes, I just hate Alabama. Yeah. But okay, buddy, War Eagle.
It's commitment.
Jake in Boston is up next. Hello, Jake.
Buck, what's going on?
Not much, buddy.
So did you hear about the Javon Kinlaw thing in San Fran?
I have seen it. Yes, I've seen all of the coverage of it, but for people who don't know what the hell you're talking about, give them a little context.
Yeah. So Kinlaw is I believe 2020 first round pick for the Niners. The tackle, from my understanding, has struggled to stay on the field a bit. It's been a bit underwhelming. And there's this reporter in San Fran, beat guy, Grant Cohn is the name, who I guess, they don't really like, but has been critical of Kinlaw, and Kinlaw apparently came up behind him at OTAs a day or two ago, knocked his hat off and like yelled at him. And then that night called into the guy's YouTube show while he was talking about it and like went on a rant.
Yeah.
Just kind of wild. Also got me thinking about which Titan, past or present, would want to beat up Kaharski. So curious to hear your thoughts on both of those things.
Well, I think present, it's Mike Vrabel, right? Mike with the punching bag yesterday. We didn't talk about that at all.
That's right.
Luan took the. Now I may have done some investigative journalism on this last night after I saw the video going around, because Luan took a video of Vrabel hitting that punching bag in the locker room, which I'm sure Taylor got chewed out about, because the last thing that Mike wants is cameras on him in the facility. Now I've seen, so which Titan past or present would want to lay hands on the Chief. I have seen several instances twice in locker rooms that I have been in where they have physically had to separate players from punching him. First one was Darren Bates. I was terrified because this was like my first year. I was like 21 years old. And I was like, oh my God, if we say bad things about the players, they're going to come up and hit us. Like, is this a thing that's going to happen?
They're right there. We're in the same room.
You're going to drop me into the middle of a locker room for 45 minutes a day with just the opportunity for them to swing on me. Oh my God. And you know, I mean, surprising to no one, the Chief probably deserved it a little bit. And then there was Wesley Woodyard. Ooh, Wesley. Luan and Bates actually had to pull Wes back from swinging on him.
What about you?
No, I stood there and watched.
I mean, which player would go at you?
Which player would go at me?
Who would come up behind you, knock off your hat, even though you don't wear hats like me, and then join your join prime time to yell at you?
To scream at me about something? Probably Vrabel. Probably Vrabel.
Yeah, but that's a cop-out answer because you can see him doing that to anybody.
Yeah,
he
can do that to anybody at any given time. I've never really had like hardcore collisions with people in the locker room. I think, you know, I don't think that AJ would do anything like that, but I know for a fact that AJ wasn't happy about the way that I handled the idea that once armed with the information that he had requested a trade, how I kind of discussed it after the fact. So, but there's nobody really like that. Bates is the first one to check me though. DB is the first one to check. That's why I love him. Because that was a growth. That was a, hey, rookie, welcome to the NFL moment for me in my rookie year of reporting. And it was not even a tweet that I tagged him in. It was something that I think his girlfriend had showed him about me demanding that he turn down the music in the locker room because nobody could hear my terrible little locker room videos that I was interviewing Derek Morgan on or something like that, that really didn't matter in the larger scheme of things, and just blaring music in the background. And somebody said, I can't hear anything over the music. And I said, well, tell Darren Bates to turn down his music. And then all of a sudden, the music gets louder over the course of 2 weeks. louder and louder and louder. And finally, the head of PR, Robbie Boren, comes up to me and says, hey, Darren wants to talk to you. Who, me? Who, me? No, I haven't said anything about any of these guys. And then all of a sudden I go up to Darren's locker and it's like one of these moments where he's like sitting up looking me up and down. And he puts his arm around me and is like, this isn't your space. This is our space. And I just want you to know that the next time you complain about my music, except it was in much more profane terms.
Yeah, you know, complaining about the music, and I know this is a younger version of you, it's only going to make them want to turn it up louder. Like, that's what my reaction would be.
I didn't realize, you know, I was 22 and I've never been in a locker room before in my life. As was well documented, they never should have credentialed me. And now look at the monster that you've created. Titans PR should be blamed, I suppose. But yeah, I didn't know that Titans players actually looked at their Twitter mentions. I'm like, surely to God, these people don't look at social media. And then all of a sudden, there it is. Do some polls.
So serious.
People hate
Let's
this one.
Put a smile on that face. I don't know where the Batman is. Doesn't matter because here's Lucas Panzeca on the Buck Rising Show. Update the polls, Lucas. Here we go.
Joker to the club.
Presented by Two Rivers Ford. Custom order any new Ford from Two Rivers. They will deliver it to you when it gets manufactured. Is Colin Kaepernick still that polarizing? 76% say no.
Based on how the show went today, I would say, yeah, it's still out there, unfortunately.
Do you actually believe anybody who says, I'll never watch the NFL again? 98% say no.
We didn't talk about that at all today, but yeah, I don't believe any of you when you tell me you're never going to watch football again. Because even if you're at a party at some point or somebody's cookout and they got a football game on, you're not turning and looking at the people there and being like, no, I will leave until you turn that to, you know, the Calgary Flames game.
If the SEC switches to one permanent opponent in the regular season, who would you want Tennessee's to be? So this shows how contentious this will be among Tennessee fans. 30% say Vanderbilt, 29% say Florida, 28% say Bama, 13% say Kentucky.
Oh, that is pretty interesting. Kentucky, though, I think would be the answer because it's a fun game, it's a fun rivalry, and you know you're probably going to win that one.
Cass says, needs to be Texas. I am looking forward to some UT versus UT matchups in the SEC, but don't think it needs to be every year.
It'd be the most Tennessee thing ever to lose to Texas.
Devin Dixon says, because beating Vandy means nothing, beating Bama would mean anything, or mean everything. That's why his choice is Alabama.
Yeah, but you're so much farther away from that than you are Vanderbilt, and I don't know how many of you, I don't think many of you would be willing to sacrifice an SEC win just to, you know, for the pride of maybe sticking in a game with Bama.
By the way, week one of the college football season, 100 days from today.
Oh, happy birthday to that.
Have you watched? I don't think that's how that works. Have you watched the NHL playoffs at all?
You looked me in the eyes and burped in my face earlier. Yeah. You don't get to tell me about etiquette today.
Unsubstantiated rumors.
During a commercial break is not unsubstantiated.
Have you watched the NHL playoffs at all since the Preds lost? 66% say no, they have not.
Yeah, no, I'm with him. I didn't even consider it last night, and I regret it, honestly, because it looked like a lot of fun what was happening in the battle for Alberta.
That game 5 happening tonight in Calgary. Edmonton has a 3-1 lead. Who gets more targets in the first 3 weeks of the regular season, Austin Hooper or first-round pick wide receiver Treylon Burks? 78% say it's Hooper.
I bet it's Hooper, too, and it's not just because of, like, the stuff that may or may not be conditioning. I wouldn't get too bent out of shape about that.
Those are the polls.
That's the show. We're going on vacation. Will Bowling's got you tomorrow. You guys are going to have fun. I'll be back with you on Tuesday. Have a great Memorial Day weekend. Blaine and Mickey are next.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.